welcome back to the second half of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. The news from Carbon County, Wyoming, the blowout Pemstemon, an endangered plant thought to live only in Nebraska, has been discovered in an isolated area of Wyoming. It is Wyoming's first endangered plant. The blowout Pemstemon is a milky blue aromatic flower that lives on sand dunes with little competing vegetation or where strong winds have created depressions called blowouts. The species was listed as endangered by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in 1987. The plant was first discovered in Wyoming in 1996, but biologists were uncertain about the identity of the plant until July 1999, when the plants were in full bloom. Samples of the plant were collected and sent to experts at the New York Botanical Garden and the University of Nebraska for reference. Quote, the discovery of this population will aid in the recovery of the species and its the eventual delisting, said Ralph Morgenweck, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Regional Director of the Mountain Prairie States. With a recovery goal of 10 viable populations with 15,000 individuals, finding a population this far from the known occurrence in Nebraska is good news. The Wyoming population is in an area of about 20 acres in northern Carbon County and contains 300 to 500 plants. The site is on federal lands managed for livestock grazing. Studies in Nebraska have shown that grazing does not often threaten blowout Pemstemon. Although the plant may be eaten by deer and elk, grazing could be a management tool to help maintain the flower's habitat by reducing sand vegetation. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has released the final recovery plan for the Kootenai River population of wild sturgeon. The Kootenai River white sturgeon was listed as endangered on September 6, 1994, and the Kootenai River white sturgeon inhabits and migrates freely in the Kootenai River from Kootenai Falls in Montana downstream to Kootenai Lake in British Columbia, Canada. This population is considered a genetically distinct interbreeding population that has been isolated from other white sturgeon populations in the Columbia River Basin for about 10,000 years. And the Kootenai White River sturgeon could be considered for downlisting to threatened status in about 10 years if recovery proceeds as expected. The plan was developed by representatives from the University of Idaho, Kootenai Tribe of Idaho, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, and the Idaho Department of Fish and Game, the Bonneville Power Administration, Canada Department of Fisheries and Oceans, and the British Columbia Ministry of the Environment, Lands, and Parks, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. All right, let's move on to other news here. The California Anti-SLAPP Project, Protecting First Amendment Rights, sent us this little note. In recent years, environmental and other activist groups have been increasingly the targets of a particularly burdensome type of retaliatory lawsuit known as a SLAPP. Because of this disturbing trend, the California Anti-SLAPP Project believes that you should be informed about California's anti-SLAPP law and important changes to it. A SLAPP, or Strategic Lawsuit Against Public Participation, is a meritless lawsuit that is filed against an individual or organization for acts such as petitioning the government or speaking out on matters of public significance. The First Amendment of the United States Constitution and the California Constitution both protect your activities. SLAPPs often occur in response to environmental or political activism. The following acts have all led to retaliatory SLAPPs. Speaking out on a public issue, attending a public meeting, complaining to the government entities, participating in a political rally, protesting, picketing, filing lawsuits. Land developers, property managers, corporations, and governmental agencies have all filed meritless SLAPPs against activists. A SLAPP may allege defamation, libel, slander, interference with contract, interference with prospective economic advantage, abuse of process, malicious prosecution, conspiracy, trespass, and other claims. And California was a pioneer in developing anti-SLAPP law. And the Code of Civil Procedure section known as 425.16. And the full text of the law is available at www.casp.net. Once again, that address is www.casp.net. And this law protects SLAPP targets by giving them a way to get a meritless SLAPP dismissed in court at the beginning of the case. And there have been some recent upgrades to this law. Last month, Governor Gray Davis signed AB 1675, which further amended and strengthened the anti-SLAPP law. As urgency legislation, AB 1675 took effect immediately. Most significantly, this amendment gives SLAPP targets the right to immediately appeal the trial court's denial of a specific motion to strike. AB 1675 also adds a reporting mechanism that will allow for the tracking of the frequency and outcomes of special motions to strike. So, good news for folks in California. We have anti-SLAPP law. Other voices, you're going to have to work on it. News about the Fisher family logging in Northern California. Just before the NRDC demo on Friday, this was, I believe, last week, we got a phone call from our attorney Kimberly Burr on Timber Harvest Plan 195-315 Amendment 10. She had heard from the Fisher's Mendocino Redwood Company attorney that the Mendocino Redwood Company had just logged this old growth plan that we have been fighting to protect since February with lawsuits, on-site protests, letter writing campaigns, and even a visit to CDF Director Andrea Tuttle in Sacramento. After months of denial, MRC Chief Forester Mike Janai, formerly of Santa Cruz, admitted on KZYX radio that Timber Harvest Plan 315 did indeed include old growth redwoods from 200 to 400 years old. Still, Bob Fisher told Forest Defender Eric Arno at a Business for Social Responsibility conference last week in San Francisco that the Mendocino Redwood Company does not log old growth. This is a blatant lie, Mr. Fisher, and we're not going to let you get away with it. So, boycott the gap. There are other logging plans taking place on Mendocino Redwood Company land. To find out more information about this, let's see, where is the information on that stuff? Digging through this info here is sometimes interesting. Read. Upcoming actions. No, there's no contact addresses in here, unfortunately. On November 13th, the Sonoma County Earth First Gap Action, noon at the courthouse in Sonoma, in Santa Rosa. Noon at the courthouse in Santa Rosa with a march to the gap. Info at 707-874-2996. And the November 20th is the No WTO Human Banner. This will be taking place Saturday, November 20th at noon at Justin Herman Plaza in San Francisco. The People's Global Action Caravan will be there and create a human banner that spells out No WTO, and they're going to march to the Old Navy store. Great stuff. So those are a couple events coming up. Here's other news of interest. The Wicks Lumber Company, the 10th largest home improvement retailer in the United States, said last Wednesday it plans to stop selling wood from endangered old-growth forests by the year 2001. David Krasiewicz, Wicks Incorporation president and CEO, said by the end of 2001 we will phase out purchasing wood products from endangered forests in North America and around the world as we build environmental partnerships that will enhance the effectiveness of our efforts and result in a better outcome for everyone. Wicks' announcements came just 8 days after the company had been targeted with demonstrations as part of a nationally coordinated day of demos against the wood products industry from Old Growth Forest Rainforest Action Network, a San Francisco-based environmental group that had included Wicks Lumber as part of the Foolish Five, the largest home development stores still selling old-growth wood. The Foolish Five are 84 Lumber, Homebase, Menards, Payless Cashways, and Wicks Lumber, and there were over 100 protests nationwide, and 15 of them were at Wicks stores in the U.S. Northeast and Midwest. So another lumber seller falling by the ways. Nestled in the San Juan National Forest in southwestern Colorado is a small rectangle of mountains and a valley that straddles the meandering East Fork of the San Juan River. For now, the rectangle's 2,780 acres are indistinguishable from the surrounding landscape. a dream scene of 1.8 million pristine acres at the Continental Divide, where the only sounds are the water rushing over rocks, the wind, and the occasional cry of birds high overhead, but that's all about to change. Like more than 50 million other acres inside the United States National Parks and Forests, only a fraction of the total, the acreage is privately owned. It was one of thousands of land grants made available in some areas almost 140 years ago for homesteading, mining, and railroads. Although most of the primitive tracts remain undeveloped, owners of the rectangle here are planning to build a members-only resort on 200 acres they call the Piano Creek Ranch, where membership shares cost $385,000 to $535,000. Designed to accommodate 395 families, the resort would include spacious houses, lodges, a golf course, and an equestrian center. A ski area would be built on another part of the rectangle. Already 175 families have signed up, and groundbreaking is scheduled for next June. Completion in a couple of years from now. Preservationists say that developments like Piano Creek represent only the beginning of a major problem throughout federal lands. It is the undiscovered crisis, says the National Park Trust, a nonprofit group that buys land and donates it to the park system. Let's see, is there any contact information on this one? No contact information on this one, but this is near the area where this year's Round River Rendezvous was held in Colorado. Environmentalists recently warned of the dangers of genetically modified super trees, which can cross-pollinate with native trees over a distance of 400 miles or more, and which are being grown in field trials without the knowledge of the consequences. Other genetically modifications under trial raise the prospect of silent forests, devoid of insects, flowers, and birds. The idea is to create super trees that grow rapidly, resist rot, and defy insect attack. The trees would be sprayed from planes to kill all life around them. In a report published recently, the World Wide Fund for Nature said 116 trials on genetically modified trees had taken place since 1988 without proper controls or research into the effects on the wider environment. 70 of the trials are currently being carried out in the United States and 5 in Britain. Francis Sullivan, director of programs for the World Wildlife Fund UK, said that there was prospect of large blocks of land in Britain and North America being given over to one super species of tree, creating sterile environments. The genie of genetically modified super trees is already out of the bottle, he says. We must make sure it does not get out of control, otherwise such trees could run riot through the forests of the world without us knowing what are the consequences. So bad news there. And following the California Supreme... we already read that one. Okay. The Sage Council has recently been appointed to the Riverside County MSHCP Advisory Committee. Although the draft HCP EIR-EIS is still pretty far off from being ready for distribution, the proposal currently on the table is to include 1.5 million acres in the planning area. This includes the Cleveland National Forest and habitat for the Peninsular Bighorn Sheep, as well as nearly 200 listed and unlisted species that are being considered for take. The trend that is being seen is that the Department of Agriculture, Interior, and including the BLM, are going to let federal lands be included in HCPs to accommodate mitigation of development on privately held lands. Sierra Club, Audubon, and Endangered Habitats League have not opposed this move so far. The contracted consulting firm Dudek and the scientific advisor Dr. Tom Scott of UC Riverside made it clear at the MSHCP Advisory Committee meeting that they would not be conducting PVAs, which are species risk assessments, or considered species fitness components or population dynamics. Migratory species are being lumped in once again with resident species, with the assumption that all migratory species will be subject to the Section 10 incidental take. This is an HCP that forest activists should get involved with worldwide. This is the fate of all public lands if not stopped here. There's a groovy-looking website, and that is http://ecoregion.ucr.edu/mshcp. Once again, that webpage is http://ecoregion.ucr.edu/mshcp. Uncle Dennis has visited that website and is very, very revealing what is going on. This is a large area of Southern California that's going to be taken apart, basically, under this HCP. And we want to thank Leona Klipstein, the Spirit of the Sage Council, for submitting this news article. And, of course, if you want further information, you can visit her webpage at www.sagecouncil.com. Once again, that's www.sagecouncil.com. And in other news, forest activists filed an appeal in hopes of blocking a federal plan for aggressive logging in three Sierra Nevada national forests. In their appeal, the groups, the American Lands Alliance, Center for Biological Diversity, the Forest Conservation Council, National Forest Protection Alliance, and the South Yuba River Citizens League, charged the Forest Service's decision to dramatically escalate logging in the Lassen Plumas and Sierra Vale District of the Tahoe National Forest would violate environmental laws and would harm forest water quality, fish and wildlife, and intensify fire risk to local communities. The groups urged the agency to scrap its logging proposal in favor of a plan that would protect forests, fish, wildlife, and recreational values. The logging scheme was written by the Quincy Library Group, so named because its members met at the library in Quincy, California. The QLG produced a pro-logging bill that became law last year. The legislation directed the Forest Service to develop an action plan to carry out the Quincy Logging Group's recommendation. Last month, the agency announced it planned to more than double logging from current levels across a swath north of Lake Tahoe, larger than Yellowstone National Park. The Quincy plan is the Ginsu knife of forest management, said Brian Vincent of the American Lands Alliance. It's designed to slice and dice our American forests, carve up some prime wildlife habitat, and to cut out the heart of the northern Sierra Nevada. The agency's decision was denounced by local officials and conservationists, as well as area business owners who fear the logging will hurt the region's booming tourist economy. The groups that challenged the decision said their appeal was necessary to stop a project that would cause more economic harm than good by destroying forest uses like recreation and tourism that are far more valuable than the timber that is on the land. All right. Environmental groups, including the Sierra Club, Earth First, and American Lands, have joined forces with members of labor organizations, including the United Steelworkers and Teamsters, to counteract the growing corporate threat to U.S. jobs and natural resources. This is a report in the Wall Street Journal. The Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment will conduct corporate accountability campaigns and plans a show of force at the upcoming World Trade Organization meeting in Seattle at the end of this month. 120 environmental groups and 100 unions have endorsed the alliance. According to its organizers, I'm a third-generation Kaiser employee, and steelworkers were always told that tree huggers were out to get our jobs. This past year has taught me it's the greed of the corporations that's the real danger, said Don Kegley, a locked-out Kaiser steelworker from Spokane. Irresponsible corporations and unaccountable international trade bodies like the World Trade Organization are threatening ecosystems and communities worldwide. The Alliance for Sustainable Jobs and the Environment is an important step to improve efforts to protect worker rights, natural resources, and democracy. If you'd like more information, contact the Alliance. Their number is 707-443-1783. That's 707-443-1783. Or you can visit their website at www.asje.org. That's www.asje.org. And Earth Justice Legal Defense Fund has filed suit on behalf of six groups against the Forest Service to stop a deal that would give a one-year contract extension to Louisiana Pacific for timber from the Tongass National Forest in Alaska, according to Reuters News Service. The conservationists argue that the decision on the extension, which was negotiated behind closed doors between the White House and the Alaska Congressional Delegation, would have included, or should have included, public oversight. If you want more information, contact Earth Justice. Tom will answer the phone, hopefully, at 907-586-2751. That's Tom at Earth Justice, 907-586-2751, or email to twaldo@earthjustice.org. That's T-W-A-L-D-O at earthjustice, all one word, .org. And Dixie Forest Supervisor Susan Wagner has ordered that a hiking and horseback riding trail that was widened for off-road vehicle use be restored to its original use, according to the Salt Lake City Tribune. The forest map lists the trail as closed to ORVs, but the forest ranger who made the decision to widen the trail said the map has a few mistakes. The trail runs through a documented roadless area and a wildlife habitat management zone. If you want more information, contact Susan at the Wild Utah Forest Campaign, 801-539-1355. That's Susan at Wild Utah Forest Campaign, 801-539-1355. Email to wufc@xmission.com. That's wufc@xmission.com. Or how about Liz at the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, 435-865-0496. That's 435-865-0496. That's Liz's number for more information. North Carolina's Pimlico Sound may suffer catastrophic damage from the aftermath of Hurricane Floyd, one of the most powerful storms ever to hit the U.S. coast. Water testing in a flight over the Sound, the nation's largest lagoonal estuary, revealed that the hurricane's effects last week, said Dr. Hans Perl, a marine scientist at the University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. The chocolate-colored sediment plume associated with the flood discharge from Floyd has now extended into Pimlico Sound and is also making its way down Core Sound, said Perl. We found oxygen-level dead zones in the bottom waters of a region of the Sound under the influence of the sediment plume. A layer of fresh water could continue to float on top of the Sound's denser salt water until next spring, preventing oxygen replenishment from the air. Bottom water with little dissolved oxygen would kill off finfish and shellfish. It's also possible that nuisance algal blooms and potentially toxic blue-green algae normally seen in the freshwater portions of our estuaries will get a foothold in the surface waters of the Sound, said Perl. Because water entering the Pimlico Sound system remains there for about a year, the nutrient and pollutant runoff will remain long enough to affect an entire growth cycle of algae. We need to carefully and thoroughly monitor the situation immediately, not just for North Carolina's sake, but also because the Pimlico Sound system provides a nursery and refuge for the entire southeastern coastal fishery, according to Mr. Perl. Some bad news from that hurricane. A 33-agency emergency rehabilitation team is working to revegetate some of the more than 1.5 million acres in Nevada that burned during the summer. On September 3rd, the Department of Agriculture of the United States Department of Agriculture declared 5 counties in Nevada as agricultural disaster areas. The fires destroyed forage for cattle and wildlife on public and private grazing lands. Wind erosion on burned desert soils has caused traffic fatalities. Watersheds have lost vegetation, will be at greater risk for flooding, and scientists from the USDA's Agricultural Research Service in Reno, with more than 50 years of experience in the delicate high-risk process of revegetating semi-desert rangelands, are helping the interagency team decide where to reseed and which plants to use. The scientists are also working on ways to keep an invasive fire-feeding weed called cheatgrass from overrunning the area. Summer lightning often starts fires in Nevada, but an abundance of cheatgrasses help fuel more destructive fires than usual, some covering hundreds of thousands of acres. Native shrubs like sagebrush and shade scale grow several feet apart, reducing a fire's ability to spread, but cheatgrass helps the fire spread faster, and the weed returns before most other plants after a fire. ARS researchers have found that the first time a cheatgrass rangeland burns, the weed can be thwarted if the site is seeded with native perennial shrubs and grasses that year. Public land managers plan to spread 5 million pounds of seed using specialized equipment designed for use in rocky, semi-desert soils. And one of the nation's largest logging companies filed suit in federal court in the middle of last month in a highly unusual legal maneuver that seeks to exclude public and environmental review of a controversial exchange of public land. Unfortunately, the Plum Creek Timber Company asked that the I-90 land exchange in western Washington state be exempt from federal environmental laws. It's bizarre, said Jane Blaylock, director of Seattle-based Western Land Exchange Project. Plum Creek is trying to portray itself as a victim, when in fact they have manipulated and engineered every step of the proposed I-90 land exchange for the last 3 years. Blaylock said Plum Creek's new legal filing is a form of a slap suit, specifically designed to make an end run around the public's right to protection under the U.S. environmental laws. The Forest Service was in the midst of conducting a review of the exchange, including full public participation, when Plum Creek asked Congress to intervene last year and legislate the trade. Environmentalists appealed the land swap this August, after discovering several irregularities in the proposal, including transfer of rare old growth and roadless areas from Watch Mountain, Fossil Creek, and the Green River, and other national forest lands. And Uncle Dennis is glad to say the Watch Mountain and Fossil Creek areas have been removed from this proposal. Well, that's it for Earth First News. To get news, announcements, or comments from your bioregion to Earth First Radio, please send us email at cruzief@cruzio.com. That's cruzief@cruzio.com. Or send your letters, donations, CDs, or cassettes to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. And for more in-depth news and information about the Earth First movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal there at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Earth First Radio is rebroadcast live on Free Radio Santa Cruz every Thursday at 8 p.m., where you can listen to Earth First Radio anytime on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's http://radioforall4.web.net. You'll need a sound card, but the software you need is free on the website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast by a growing number of free speech, non-commercial, and pirate radio stations. If you found us on the web, ask your local station to download and rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Our theme music was written and performed by Gerald Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. Earth First Radio is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and please tune in again.
The river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous. Someday I was walking with my brother, and he wondered what's on my mind. I said what I believe in my soul ain't what I see with my eyes, and we can't turn our backs this time. I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. I want to be with my family, the people who understand me. I've got nowhere else to go. And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday. And I was a-talking with my sister, she looked so fine. I said, sister, what's on your mind? I want to run like a lion, release from the cages, release from the rages burning in my heart tonight. And I ain't no communist, and I ain't no capitalist, and I ain't no socialist, and I ain't no imperialist, and I ain't no Democrat, sure ain't no Republican. I only know one party, and it is freedom. I am a patriot, and I love my country, because my country is all I know. And the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous, and the river opens for the righteous someday.